Well, good morning. It's good to see you today, and so thankful we're here together. Would you grab a Bible this morning? We're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes, and it is, I know I've said this before, one of my favorite books of the Bible, and I enjoy it because it's so human, and we'll see some of that this morning. But I know I'm a few days early, but congratulations, you've made it through 2021 so far. And as Peter said a while ago, I don't know that calendar dates mean a lot to God, but I think to us sometimes it's just, it's checking off boxes. And this has been an interesting year, as the last two have, and I will share with you this morning that some personal things, but this has been probably, for me, 2021 was more eventful and maybe even more difficult than 2020 was, and maybe that's been that way for you. Maybe it's been because of the long, you know, there's this thing of COVID they call long COVID. I think we all have it to some degree. Whether you actually are sick with it, it's hit our society and our world. And so I want to speak to you this morning about the seasons of life, because every season has a change, and I couldn't, and there is no better passage to see that in Ecclesiastes 3. And so if you would look with me at verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God chooses, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is has already been, and that which is to be has already been, and God requires an account of what is past. There's a lot of depth in what we just read. And a lot of that depth comes into our personal lives. The writer's not just filling space here, as we see verses, especially verses 2 through 8. These verses, a time for this and a time for that. And if you'll notice, if you add it up, verses 2 through 8, there's 28 different times that are listed there. And that may seem like, well, big deal, 28 different times. The writer in his poetic way is letting us know the 28 different times. You realize in a lunar month there are 28 different days. And so he's kind of playing on that back in verse 1, to everything there is a season. One day is a time to be born and the next day a time to die. You see how he's kind of doing this, that it's like every day brings changes. Every day within this lunar month, these 28 days, could all be all of those things, the time to plant and the time to harvest what you've planted. And it just goes on and on. And so he's making this reference, and the literary style here that he's using, we've made it very poetic. Pete Seeger and the Birds helped us do that. I said that because some of you get that, and some of you do not get that at all. there's a song, Turn, Turn, Turn. And it was in this song, I think it was 1965 when this song originally came out, written by Pete Seeger, the Bird. It wasn't originally recorded by them. They made it famous. And so we've made this beautiful thing to everything. There is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, right? And so we've made it this beautiful poetic thing. Actually, it was written poetic, but it was written in the way to be monotonous. And so if you read it in the monotony way, you're like, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest. You know, he's like, man, and if you read all of Ecclesiastes, you understand that's where he was going. Because he was being extremely cynical in most of this book. He's just like, here we go again. You know, I mean, that's the way you need to read that. Here we go again, another day, another dollar. I don't even know if we'll make a dollar because inflation, you know, it's that kind of attitude that he's writing this with. And so when you read that, and we made it this beautiful poetic thing, he's writing it of the monotony. And I want to share this first thing with you this morning, and I want to give you just several thoughts this morning that have just kind of worked in me over this past year, and I want to share them with you. The first one is this, is that life can seem monotonous. It can seem monotonous rather than beautiful if we do not see a purpose. Now, dwell on that with me for just a second. Life can seem very monotonous rather than beautiful. Just like we want to make things beautiful, this passage of Scripture, this make it beautifully poetic, and he's meaning it to be just the everyday, life can seem like that. It's this the cycle, the seesaw of ups and downs and ups and downs, and why get up in the morning? We're just going to have to face the same drudgery that we faced yesterday. Why go to work? Because all it is trouble and sorrow and difficulty, and I know I'm going to have the same problems. People enter into relationships like this. Why do I have to keep going through this relationship? It's just dragging me down, and this just feeling of just constant monotony and constant worry and everything else. But the reason it's that way, if there's no purpose, why go to this job if there's no purpose in it? Why go through all of these things in life that I face if there's no purpose in it? And it's so important to understand that God has a purpose for our lives, but in the monotony of every day, it can get lost. One thing we may need to rediscover is our purpose. This is why mental and spiritual health, your mental health has to do with purpose. Your spiritual health has to do with purpose. And I've been open and transparent as somebody who's dealt with mental health stuff and dealt with depression and some other stuff. I've had to really discover during those difficult moments, what's my purpose? Because I'll tell you, the moments I don't feel like there's much purpose and I'm not getting a lot done, it really, do you want to do the next thing? Do you want to keep going? See, maybe for you, it's, do I want to go do that job the next day? Do I want to go, I know I'm going to get all the young people with this one. Do I want to go to class the next day? And you're like, no, I don't want to go to class the next day. But do I want to go do all of these things day after day after day? And I have to confess, there's times like even ministry-wise, does it really matter? Am I really making a difference? Is it really going to affect my life or anyone else's life? Why keep doing this? Because God has a bigger purpose and plan than sometimes I in that moment. And what helps my mental health and my spiritual health and will help you is to sit down and say, what is my purpose? Can I give you a little something? Write it down. Really pray and say, Lord, what is my purpose? And write it down, because you'll have to come back to that piece of paper sometimes. Because there are days you don't, what's the use? And you have to discover that. And this is for all ages of people. I think some of us, as we get older, we forget what it's like being a young person. And our young people are dealing with anxieties and stresses that some of us never had to knew anything about. And they can lose their purpose in that. So you need to know, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? Because notice verses 9 and 10, after that long list of war and peace and laughter and mourning, he says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. As you read that, he's like, what good is it? I've watched people work, and I've watched people labor, and I've watched people go through these things. And I will tell you, when it's difficult to see the big picture, One of the best things we need to do in life is take a step back. So there, I want to imagine that you're at a football game. Some of you could care less about being in a football game, but just join me in the analogy, okay? But I want you to imagine that you're at a football game and you're standing on the sideline on the 50-yard line, right in the center of the field. Somebody might tell you that's the best seat in the house for the game. Right there on the sideline, I mean, players running right by you, 50-yard line. But here's the problem. At that vantage point, although it may seem prime position, when stuff's happening on the goal lines, you can't see any of it. So that's why some of the best, the top season tickets that are sold every year for top dollar are not right there. They're actually up a little higher. Because now you have better perspective. And I think that is so true for us. Sometimes we want to get right in the middle of the action, because I'm a get right in the middle of the action kind of person. And we get right in the middle of the action, and we got right in the middle. But also, your daily life is right there in the middle, and you're thinking, what's the use? What's the use? What the use? And one thing we need to spiritually do is take a step back. We need to look at some things from a wider perspective. I'll give you this. Don't get so lost in the details of everyday life that you miss the eternal picture. When you're so consumed with the everyday and the details of it, sometimes you can miss the big picture and the eternal picture that God has planned for you. You ever heard the statement, you can't see the forest for the trees? And the idea is because you're staring at the tree, you don't see the whole forest. Sometimes we can't see our purpose for the pain. Or the purpose for because of the everyday, or the purpose. And so we have to learn to take a step back. It would be interesting if I asked you how your year went. Say, hey, tell me how 2021 went for you. You know what would be interesting is most of us would tell you how we're doing right now. We wouldn't actually tell you how the whole year went because we've kind of forgotten. And we haven't really evaluated the entirety of it. I was doing this just recently and thinking about this year, and there's been I've personally just battled with a lot of stuff this year and gone through a lot of stuff mentally, emotionally, physically, just really dwelling and spiritually on some stuff. But then what I did is I stepped back and I said, you know what? I had one of my children graduate from high school this year. One of my children graduated from college this year. One of my children got married this year. I mean, look at all those things. One of my children was in a major car accident and car totaled, but thank the Lord came away completely uninjured. You know, just start thinking about stuff like that. And so when I take the step back from things, although I've had a lot, you see, I could dwell on you that my best friend died this year. My best friend from college died this year, and I could dwell on that, spend some time there, and grieve over that. And I wake up during the night sometimes, and you've all been there, wake up during the night grieving over something like that. And the thing is, we don't dismiss that. We just understand that's part of what God's doing. That's part of my year. That's part of my life. It's not the whole of my life, but if I get consumed with this one thing, it becomes the whole. And I need to take a step back and look at all of it. And the writer of Ecclesiastes is kind of saying, man, I see this, and I see this drudgery, and I see this every day. Maybe we need to look at this differently. So let's look at verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. As I read that, it kind of mirrors Romans 8:28 to me. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. As I read, and I parallel those two passages together, because God says, you're so fixated on this moment, but I'm looking at everything completely different. I have a totally different vantage point than you do. I'll give you an officiating analogy for just a moment, because when I officiate, we are given responsibilities, and one thing you'll hear when we officiate, if you come around us, we use this statement, wider is better, and the idea is the wider we can get and the wider field of vision we can get on a play, the better we're going to do. recently. As his dad was in those last days. And Patrick, you know, at moments, just like all of us, was so, oh man, this moment so difficult. And then in the same conversation, Patrick would drop back and see the big picture of his dad's life and the beauty of it. And that's one thing we have to learn to do is see the bigger picture of it all. He has put eternity, we'll go on to read, he's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity in their hearts. And I know versions are going to vary a little bit here, but in some of your versions, especially King James, say the world. And the world there means every age that has been, every age that has been, every age that will be. That's what he's talking about, eternity. He's put eternity in the hearts of man, not just the seasons. He's put the big picture of it all there. I think it's interesting that even people who don't believe in God or don't believe in religion, they still have questions about afterlife. I think that's so interesting. Like, what happens to me after I die? I thought he didn't believe in religion. Well, I don't, but, you know, because why do we have that? Why do we just deal with death the way we do? Is because we know God's put eternity in our hearts. We know there's something bigger outside of this. If you're living life, you ever thought this can't be all there is? That's what he's saying. He's put eternity in our hearts. In the garden, the consequence of sin was death. Now, if you remember previous to that, God would come and he would dwell with them in the cool of the day. And when they sinned, did they die immediately? No, but they didn't physically die in that sense, but they lost fellowship with God. And so I kind of come to this conclusion that broken daily fellowship with God is that loss of life. That is death in very much itself. That I no longer, that's why I'm born in my trespasses and sins. I don't have fellowship with God anymore. And what the enemy came to do was to convince Adam and Eve that they could live apart from this fellowship. You're not going to really die. You don't really need God's fellowship. You go take of it and you can make all the decisions you want to make and leave God out of it. But God created us for fellowship with him. God created us for fellowship with one another. That's why he gave us the church. It was that important. I don't know about you, but I get life from people. I get life from loving with and fellowshipping with, and I get life from fellowshipping with God, and he says, you're missing that. So notice the end of verse 11, if he's put eternity in our hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. But I don't know how everything's going to turn out. I'll give you this point. A willingness to be obedient, even when you can't see how it's going to turn out, is faith. God's called us to live by faith. I don't know what tomorrow holds, much less 2022. At the end of 2019, did anybody guess how the next 2 years were going to go? You had no clue. We had no evidence. We don't know any of that stuff. I have no idea what tomorrow holds or next year, but I'm going to trust God that he knows best, and I'm going to be obedient in daily serving him, and that's faith. And that's what it takes, is great faith. Maybe you have something you're praying about right now that you want to see God do, and you're like, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know what your plan is even in this, but I'm going to trust you. That is incredible faith, and that's the faith where we enter our daily life. And so we're called to live with that kind of faith. I'm going to read verses 12 through 15, and I'm just going to give you a few thoughts before I close out. I want to read them together, and then I want to give you three thoughts real quick. Verse 12 says, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. That it is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is has already been, and what is to be has already been, and God requires an account of what is past. Let me give you three thoughts real quickly on these verses. First of all, in verse 12 and 13, I want you to see this. Life is a gift from God. I could stop there, but I want to give you more. Life is a gift from God, and we must decide what we're going to do with it. Your life is a gift from God. I could add further because I think Scripture bears this out. Your life is also a gift to this world. But your life is a gift from God, and we have to decide what we're going to do with it. He says here, God gave you this gift. Enjoy it. Use it for His glory. Use it for His glory, and it's going to bring about good. The one thing that people struggle with at this time of year, and people struggle with in their mental and emotional and spiritual health, is the fact that they don't see that their life really matters. But you matter not only, and by the way, if you didn't matter to anybody in this world, which you do, and I know when we get down and discouraged, we don't think we do, but you do. You matter to God Almighty. And He gave you what you have right now, so use it wisely and use it with joy in your life. In verse 14, I want you to see this, that we are to live in the moment, but not for the moment. We're to live in the moment, but not for the moment. I love this because God has allowed us to be where we are, when we are, with who we are, and we trust that He knows best. But we get so much caught up in the moment that we start living for it instead of just living in it. Can I give you some, quit living in shock of how bad things are. Seriously, quit living in shock of how bad things are. Boy, it's worse than ever. We say that all the time. We say stuff like, no, man, nobody's ever had it this bad. We say things like, this is how it's always going to be. It's never going to get better. Can I say this honestly and lovingly? You don't know that. You don't know that. I don't know that. But we get so caught up in for the moment that we just don't realize, hey, this is one of the moments of my life, not the only moment. This is one of the years of my life, not the only year. And so release that. You don't know that it's going to stay that way. It most likely, and it will change. Well, how do I know that? Well, go up here, just verse 4. Look at just verse 4. A time to weep. Yep, that's all life is, time to weep. Well, read the rest of it. And a time to laugh. Now, it's not always laughter. Some of y'all like to laugh just like I like to laugh. But it's not, life's not always laughter. But life's not always weeping. He said it's a time to mourn. There's times of mourning. There's times of grief, and we've felt that grief deeply in our world. Over 5 million people in the last 2 years. I mean, come on, we've felt grief. But there's also a time to dance. And man, if there's anything that I could do in this world and do well, I would love to dance well. Is anybody with me on that? I know I don't have the skills, but if I could have one skill in the world, it would be, some of you are like, what? I tell my wife that all the time, and I'm like, if I could have that skill. But no, seriously, there's time to mourn and there's time to dance. It's not always one thing that we make it. But we're so caught up in, it's all about this moment. No, it's bigger than this. And that's what he says in verse 14. I know whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing taken away from it. You're not in control. You're not in charge. So quit acting like you are. God does it that men should fear before Him. He gives you this moment and the next moment and the next moment so that you could say, look what God gave us. These are gifts. And enjoy them. And then one more in verse 15. I'll share this with you. That God lives outside of time and space. But He's given you the privilege of the time and space you have. Peter's right. God's not going, oh, man, 2021 really crept up on me there. Can't believe it's almost 2022. There's not like a master plan. There's not like a boardroom in heaven where they're trying to figure out how they're going to do 2022. He lives outside of all of that. But He's given you the time and the space that you have. I love it there. He says that which has already been, this is from God's perspective. If you read this, that which is has already been. All right, so what the present and the past, to God that's already been. And that which is in the future, that which is to be, has already been to God. I'm like, I'm wondering how the next day is going to turn out or how the next year is going to turn out. God's like, I already know about all that. It's all passed to him. And so what does he do at the end of this verse? God requires an account of what is past. In other words, it's all the past to him, so he's requiring an account of how what we do with it. And so he's given you this time and space to live in and to enjoy. I don't know what next year holds, and really, I would love to sometimes know, but maybe I wouldn't. And it doesn't really matter because I just have to serve one day, every day for God and live that for him. So do well with what you have been given. I want to end this with two passages of scripture, and they'll be on the screen. The first one's in Psalm 90. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Can anybody relate to that for just a moment? Like, man, just boom, gone. When you're a kid, it seemed like things lasted forever. And as you get older, it's like, how did that happen so quickly? So the answer is not just to grieve and mourn over it. The answer is the end. Teach us to realize the brevity of life that we may grow in wisdom. So, Lord, if it's fast, I want to take advantage of the opportunity that I have. I want to take advantage of what you've given me and treasure it because I can't go back and get it again. So I want to be wise with what you've given me. Look back on everything that God has done this year. Look at the blessings. Look at the trials. Look at all of that and say, Lord, teach me from all of that. Teach me from everything. And whatever you bring tomorrow, teach me from that. I should be a constant disciple and a constant learning process going on in my life. One other passage, last one. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Paul said, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I can't do anything about yesterday except learn from it. And I'm going to learn from yesterday so it affects today and tomorrow. And as I learn from it, I realize I'm always pressing towards something else. There's something bigger. There's something greater. There's something greater than the next year. There's something greater than the next season. There's something greater than the next moment. And so my encouragement is to you today, the seasons of life, there's a time to be born. I could go through all of these. They're powerful. There's a time of mercy and there's a time of judgment. That's what a time to kill and a time to heal talks about. There's a time of judgment. It's real. But there's also, thankfully, a time of mercy. Aren't you glad for that? It goes on and on and on. Yes, may seem monotonous. May seem like even a drudgery at times. But can we just stop this morning and go, thank you, God, for the blessings. Thank you even for the trials. Thank you for the difficulties that you've brought me through. And thank you for the victories that I've had in those difficulties. Thank you for the job that I have and for the monotony of the everyday. Because it's in those that monotony that I find your blessing. It's out of the darkness and the beating upon that rock that you find the diamond and the same thing. You're going to pound and pound until we find the beauty of what is in the ashes. Thank you, Lord, for that. We got so much to be thankful for. We got so much to learn from and to grow from. Let's do that together. Would you join me in prayer? And I'm going to let our worship team come because we're going to sing in a very appropriate song this morning to end this. Because, Lord, we desire you and you only. I know that I speak not only for myself but for many others when we say the difficulties we have been through have been very real, but you've shown your grace in the midst of those difficulties. And Lord, I don't have all the answers, and really I wasn't given the right to all the answers. I was given to trust you. Guess like Adam and Eve, if I had all the answers, I wouldn't need you, but I need you. I admit that wholeheartedly. I want to live with you as the source of my life and the whole of my life. So I ask for your blessing, your help. So we trust you and you alone today. Take someone who's discouraged and lift them up. Take someone who's lost, who has lost so much, and show them that all things work together. Show them that you make everything beautiful in its time. And take the one who's living in victory right now and just, Lord, let them store and learn so that the days that may not seem so victorious are still in the hands of Almighty God, and they know that. So do us with your strength and your wisdom in these moments. In Jesus' name.